We have established in the first shiur the requirement to describe the three themes of Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros, God's majesty, his omniscience, and his revelation through the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. We have also seen that this presentation must be in our own words, supplied, of course, by the Machzor, and it must also be a worthy and accurate presentation, and as complete as possible, such that, after our presentation, we begin to quote Pesukim from Tanakh, first three verses from the Torah, then from the Kesuvim, actually they're all from Tehillim, and finally from the Nevi'im. We questioned the order of the citations. Why Nevi'im after Kesuvim and not before, as is usually the case? The answer that I am going to present is based partially on a Tosfos in Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, page 32a, who state that chronology is relevant to the subject. It is also mentioned briefly in the name of Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik and Rabbi Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin. The approach is this. In order to achieve a fuller and more complete presentation of the Rosh Hashanah themes, we add another dimension, the dimension of time. We describe the three themes in terms of the past, the present, and the future, thus covering the subjects in a complete and grand historical sweep. Let's look for a moment at the opening lines of Malchios. You may want to open a Machzor to follow the discussion more closely. It opens with the very familiar Aleinu, which is included by custom in the Siddur every day at the close of the davening. I'm going to recite the first couple of lines, but not in the way that you are used to hearing it, in order to make a point. Aleinu l'shabeach la'adon ha'olam, la'seis gedula li'otzer hakol. It is our obligation to praise the Master of the world, to give glory to the Creator of all. It doesn't sound quite right, does it? But it is not wrong either. It says we need to praise the Master of the universe. I used the word olam, world, instead of kol, all. And I used the word kol, all, instead of the word bereshis, in the beginning. What we always say is, aleinu l'shabeach l'adon hakol l'seis gedulo l'yotzer bereshis, referring to our obligation to praise the one who created the beginning. As a matter of fact, the other two sections, Zichronos and Shofros, also include the word bereshis. In Zichronos we say, Lefanecha niglu kol ta'alumos v'hamon nistaros shemi bereshis. Before you are revealed all hidden things and the multitude of secrets from the beginning. Shemi bereshis. Why bereshis? Even if the author of this prayer wanted to express something old, he could have said v'hamon nistaros shemi kedem, and the multitude of secrets from long ago or from before. But no, he says from the beginning, using that special word shemi bereshis, which is actually ungrammatical. The word shemi bereshis means literally that are, she, from, me, in, be, reshis, the beginning. Bereshis is the first word in the Torah. It means literally in the beginning. But it is used to denote the divine creation of the world. Bereshis as an expression means the beginning. It appears that the author chose the word deliberately. In Shofros as well, we again find the word bereshis. Shofros begins, Ato nigleso, you revealed yourself, etc., etc., to speak to your people. From the heavens you caused them to hear your voice. Gam kol ha'olam kulo chal mipanecha. Uvrios breshis chardu mimecha. All the world in its entirety, we go on to say, shook before you. And the creatures of Bereshis, there it is again, the word Bereshis, the creatures of in the beginning, chardu mimecha, trembled before you. It could have said Uvrios ha'olam, or Uvrios tevel, the creatures of the world, or the creatures of the earth, but no. Brios Bereshis, the creatures of creation, the creatures of in the beginning. When did this scenario that's described take place? Bigaloscha Malkeinu the Machzor continues, Al Har Sinai L'lameid L'amachot Torah U'mitzvos. When you revealed yourself on Mount Sinai to teach your people Torah and mitzvos. Why did the world shake? Not a word was yet spoken. Why did the creatures of creation become frightened? Chazal tell us, and Rashi and Chumash mentions it on the words in Bereshis, Yom HaShishi, that as the 6 days of creation were drawing to a close, Hashem made a condition with all that he had made as follows. If Klal Yisrael accepts the Torah that will be given on Yom HaShishi, another sixth day, the sixth day of Sivan, when the festival of Shavuos occurs, the day we received the Torah. If Israel accepts the Torah, then well and good. But if not, then Hashem says, I will turn the world back to tohu vavohu, to chaos and nothingness. So that's why the entire world trembled. They were frightened, not just at the sound of the divine shofar, but they were afraid that they might all be destroyed. This is shofros in the past, all the way back to Bereshis, to the beginning. Malchios in the past harks back to the very beginning of everything. Laseis gedulo liotzer Bereshis. Hashem's sovereignty goes all the way back to the beginning. His knowledge and remembering, Zichronos, also goes all the way back to Bereshis, and his revelation through the shofar of Sinai encompassed the entire Bereshis, the whole beginning, the whole creation. I believe that the Machzor chose this word very deliberately to express this idea in all three sections. Let us continue our discussion by now reviewing the Zichronos in detail, because it is this section which is the simplest in terms of its treatment of the time dimension. After mentioning that God knows everything, we then say that Hashem, from the beginning, designated this day, Rosh Hashanah, the day Adam was created, as the eternal day of judgment for all years. Zikaron liyom rishon, a remembrance of the first day of man's creation, Umishpat l'elokei Yaakov, and a day of judgment for the God of Jacob. Thus, the Machzor makes the transition from the past to the present. And so we continue. Mi lo nifkad kayom hazeh, who is not remembered on this day, says the Machzor. Countries are judged, individuals, our innermost thoughts and schemes and motives are all judged by the Almighty on this Rosh Hashanah, today, in the present. At this point, the Machzor is about to return to the past in order to introduce the biblical passages about Noah from the Torah, which pertain, of course, to the past. But before the Machzor does, it seems to digress for a moment, and we're going to follow that digression now. The Machzor says, Ashrei ish shelo yishkacheka, happy is the man who does not forget you. We have to wonder what this has to do with the theme of Zichronos. After all, we're talking about Hashem's remembering here, aren't we? Not man's remembering. The answer is that God's omniscience is meaningless without man's recognition of it, just as God's sovereignty, Malchios, is devoid of meaning without man's recognition. And God's shofros is totally ineffective without some response to his revelation from man. That is why each one of these sections contains at least some reference to our recognition and our reaction to the theme. Let us now begin to look at the biblical quotations of Zichronos. First, from the Torah, Vayizkor Elokim es Noach, and Hashem remembered Noah and everyone and everything that was with him in the ark, and the waters of the flood subsided. This is clearly a reference to the past, when Hashem remembered Noah and saved the whole world from destruction. The next quotation is, Vayishma Elokim es Na'akosam, Vayizkor Elokim es Briso, es Avraham, es Yitzchok, v'es Yaakov. This refers to Galus Mitzrayim, the bondage in ancient Egypt. Hashem heard the cry of the Israelites and remembered his covenant with our forefathers to save his people and free them from the Egyptian bondage. The last quote from the Chumash is not quite so easy. It is from the Tochacha, the admonishment at the end of the book of Vayikra, and it says, V'zacharti es brisi Yaakov, and I will remember my covenant with Jacob, V'af es brisi Yitzchak, and even my covenant with Isaac, V'af es brisi Avraham es Kor, and even my covenant with Abraham I will remember, V'ha'aretz es Kor, and I will remember the land of Israel. This is a divine promise that Hashem will remember his people and will remember Eretz Yisrael and never let them be destroyed. It is the promise that we will be an eternal people. It is really a promise for the future, so it does not fit so easily into what should be descriptions of the past. There's a beautiful medrash on this pasuk. The medrash points out an unusual spelling in the verse. The word Yaakov is spelled with a vav, yud, ayin, kuf, vav, beis. If you look in your Machzor, it is probably copied that way as well. The Medrash says that Yaakov Avinu took the vav, which does not usually appear in his own name. He took the vav from Eliyahu HaNavi, from Elijah the prophet, from his name, as security that he would bring the Redeemer. Our tradition is that Eliyahu HaNavi will be the Mevaser. He will announce that Mashiach is coming. Five times in Tanakh, his name is written Eliyah, without the Vav. Yaakov Avinu took that Vav, added it to his own name, and promised Eliyahu HaNavi that he will return the Vavs when Eliyahu HaNavi brings Mashiach. In other words, part of the mechanism to bring about the final redemption was already in place long ago in the past. This verse from the Torah reminds us of that foundation stone in the process of bringing Mashiach. Let us take a look at the verses from Tehillim and see how they reflect our experience in the present. The first one is, Zecher Asa L'Nifla Osav Chanun V'Rachum Hashem. He made a memorial for his wonders. How does this verse relate to God's omniscience? According to the Midrash, this pasuk is saying that God established the Yomim Tovim, the festivals, to memorialize his miracles. Pesach, to commemorate our miraculous freedom from bondage. Shavuos, to memorialize the giving of the Torah. And Sukkot, to remember our miraculous existence in the wilderness. Hashem gave us these memorials by which we could recall his providence, his knowing everything that happens to our people, and his acting on that knowledge to help us so many times throughout history. As we explained before, our awareness of God's remembrance is an integral part of Zichronos. The next pasuk reinforces the idea that Hashem knows and responds all the time to what is happening. Teref nasan lireyav, he provides food for those who fear him. Yizkor leolam b'riso, he always remembers his covenant. The last pasuk is vayizkor lahem b'riso vayinachem. He remembered his covenant for them and changed his mind from destroying us. Kerov chasadav, in his abundant kindness. Many times throughout history, when the world was ready to write us off, Hashem made sure that we as a people would survive. We come now to the first quotation from the prophets. This is the well-known passage from Yirmiyahu that says, Zacharti lach chesed ni'urayich ahavas klulosayich. I remember the kindness of your youth, the love of your bridal days. Lechteich aharai bamidbar, how you followed me in the wilderness. We said earlier that the passages from Nevi'im are chosen because they tell of the final redemption. This passage, however, appears to be nothing more than a nostalgic recollection of our past, how we followed Hashem out of Egypt, like a starry-eyed bride following her chassan, her groom, into uncharted regions, purely out of love. The answer is that this quotation is meant to be understood in context, both in its own context in the Navi, as well as in the context of the Machzor. The next line in Yirmiyahu says, Kodesh Yisrael Lashem, Reshis Tvuaso, Israel is holy to Hashem, the first of his harvest. Kolo Chlav Yashomu, Ra'a Tovo Alehem Ne'um Hashem, those who eat them shall be guilty. Evil shall befall them, says Hashem. This is clearly a promise for the future based on Hashem's recollection of our devotion to him in the past. The beautiful description of our following Hashem into the desert without having provisions is the reason for and the basis of his promise to redeem us. So also in the context of the Machzor itself, the next pasuk quoted says, "V'zacharti ani es brisi osach bimei ne'urayich," and I will remember my covenant with you from the days of your youth, Hashem says, referring to exactly that youthful love that was just described in the previous citation. Now that we have reviewed Zichronos in the past, present, and future, let us turn back to the Malchios, where the same basic pattern is found. It starts with Aleinu L'Shabeach describing that Hashem is master of the universe all the way back to Bereshis, and that he is the only God, Bashamayim Mima'al, Valo'oretz Mitachas, in the heavens above and on the earth below, Ein Od, there is no other. Now we would expect to go from there into the psukim from the Torah and the Kesuvim, but the Machzor does not do that. Rather, it continues, Al kein nekavelecha, therefore we hope to see Hashem's glory, to cut down all the idols, etc., etc., yakiru v'yedu'u kol yoshevei seveil, all the world's inhabitants will recognize Hashem and accept the yoke of your kingship, and you shall reign over them forever. This sounds like the future. What is it doing here when it should be at the end of the bracha? The answer is that this is really about the present. The truth is that the majesty of Hashem is not much recognized in the present. Malchus Hashem in the present is, however, manifest by the fact that there is a group of people that stubbornly proclaim his majesty and daven every day that Hashem's majesty be recognized the world over. That is Malchios in the present, and that is why this section is said at this point in the Machzor. Now let us move on to Shofros, and here we will find the mysterious missing section that I referred to in our previous shiur. If we look at the opening lines of Shofros, we should expect to find the narrative about Hashem's revelation through the shofar in the past and in the present, followed by all the pesukim, all the quotations, and continuing with a supplication for Hashem to once again reveal himself with the shofar of Mashiach. If we review this bracha of Shofros, we find all the elements there, except one. There is no description in our own terms of Shofros in the present. The entire introduction consists of only three sentences which describe Ma'amad Har Sinai, when the Torah was given at Mount Sinai amidst thunder and lightning and the sound of the divine shofar. Then we immediately say, Kakasuv b'sarasecha, as it is written in your Torah, followed immediately by the verses themselves. This is the missing section where the longest Amidah of the year strangely falls short. What happened to the part about our description of Shofros in the present? To be sure, Shofros in all the time periods is represented in the verses quoted. For the past, we get three psukim describing the shofar at Mount Sinai. For the future, there are three quotations from Nevi'im Acharonim, the later prophets, describing the shofar sounds for the final redemption. And for the present, there are verses from Tehillim, the Ksuvim, and they describe the shofar sounds on Rosh Hashanah and in the Beis HaMikdash. For instance, the second quote, "B'chatzot ros v'kol shofar hori'u lifnei HaMelech Hashem," with trumpets and the sound of the shofar, call out before Hashem, the king. This refers to the shofar blowing in the temple, where the shofar was accompanied by trumpets. Now, how is this the present? Let's go back for a moment to understand the timeline here. You will recall that we defined the past for the purpose of our discussion as from creation until the Torah was received, because it was at that moment when creation was assured its permanent status. The Torah verses thus all pertain to that period. In other words, the formative period of the world and the people of Israel until the receiving of the Torah. The future, for purposes of our discussion, is the end of days, Yemos HaMashiach, the final redemption, and that is referred to by our quotes from Nevi'im. Everything in between is the present. Everything from after the Torah was received, our history of entering Israel through the first temple, the exile, the second temple, etc., etc., up until this very moment is the present and the subject of the verses from Tehillim. Anything during the thousands of years of Olam HaZeh, the world as we know it, is the present. Thus, the blowing of the shofar in the Beis HaMikdash is appropriate. It's from the right time period. What seems to be missing here, however, is the divine element of shofros. Earlier we said that each of the attributes of Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros involves not only an aspect of the divine, that is, something about Hashem, but also something about us humans. Hashem is king, and we are his subjects who recognize him. Hashem remembers us, and we remember him. Hashem sounded the shofar, and we trembled at Mount Sinai. Now we are ready to answer our question. What happens when we blow the shofar? For one thing, the Midrash tells us, Hashem gets up from the Kisei HaDin, from his throne of justice, and sits on the Kisei HaRachamim, on the throne of mercy. This reaction or response of Hashem to our shofar is hinted at in the first quotation from Tehillim. Allah Elokim bisruah Hashem b'kol shofar. Hashem went up with the truah sound. Hashem with the sound of the shofar. Hashem, as it were, rises to a higher level as a result of our sounding the shofar. The first divine name used in this verse is Elohim, referring to the attribute of God's justice. But then the pasuk switches the reference to Hashem, referring to Hashem's merciful nature. As a result of our blowing the shofar, taking it to heart, and beginning the process of teshuvah, of repentance, a divine transformation takes place. God gets up from the throne of strict justice and moves over to the throne of compassion. We can recite the verses about shofros that refer to the divine-human dialogue, but it is difficult for us to articulate it on our own. It would be presumptuous of us to talk about Hashem's moving to the throne of mercy as if we were so positive about it. Rather, we can only hope that Hashem will respond that way by showing mercy. However, at the end of Shofros, we finally do make a statement about Shofros in the present as it affects us personally. And we say, Ki ata shomea kol shofar, umazin trua, for you hear the sound of the shofar and give ear to the trua sound. Instead of Hashem sounding the shofar, and we trembling, here we blow the shofar, and Hashem reacts by listening and paying attention. And not only that, but there is an element of divine revelation here as well, as I will now explain. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, on page 26A, in discussing the shofar blowing, notes that a cow's horn may not be used as a shofar. The Gemara explains that a cow, which is just a grown-up calf, reminds us of the Chet Egel HaZahav, the sin of the golden calf, so therefore it cannot be used to perform the mitzvah of shofar. Ein kategor naaseh sanegor. The accuser of Israel, the calf, cannot serve as a defender of Israel, the cow's horn. That is why the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur wears pure white linen without his usual golden vestments, because the egel was made out of gold. As he enters the Kodshei Kodshim, the Holy of Holies, so cannot we use a cow's horn on Rosh Hashanah as an instrument to have Hashem remember us for good. The Gemara then asks that we can see from what the Kohen Gadol does that gold is only forbidden lifnai v'lifnim, in the inner sanctum, and the shofar is actually blown outside in the courtyard. So what's the problem with using a cow's horn? The Gemara responds and ends the discussion with the following statement. Kevan delizikaron asi kilifnim dami. Since the shofar comes for our remembrance before Hashem, it's like being in the Holy of Holies. Therefore, a cow's horn may not be used for a shofar. What Chazal are telling us is that when we blow the shofar, we are in the presence of the Shechina. It's like we're in the Holy of Holies, like the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. By blowing the shofar on Rosh Hashanah and fulfilling the mitzvah, we are incredibly empowered to summon, as it were, the divine presence, to put ourselves in God's direct company. It is similar to the concept of prayer, where the Rambam tells us that when we daven the Amida, we should imagine that we are literally standing in heaven before Hashem. So intense is the experience at that moment. In Malchios, we speak of Hashem's sovereignty and the human acknowledgement of it in the past, the present, and the future. In Zichronos, we speak of God's remembering everything and of our remembering Him. In Shofros, we speak of Hashem's sounding the shofar in the past and the world trembling in the future and all humans hearing it and acknowledging Hashem. V'hoya b'yom ha'hu, we say, Yitaka b'shofar gadol, uvo ha'ovdim be'eretz Mitzrayim, v'anidochim be'eretz Ashur, v'ishtahavu l'Hashem b'har ha'kodesh b'Yerushalayim. And on that day, the great shofar will be sounded, etc., etc., and all will come and bow before Hashem in Yerushalayim. In the present, however, there is this remarkable reversal of roles, where we blow the shofar, and in response to our sound, Hashem comes and listens and pays attention. Whoever comes to shul on Rosh Hashanah and participates meaningfully in the services certainly experiences the divine presence which is felt so keenly during the moments of Tekiyas Shofar. This experience demonstrates how we can directly connect with Hashem on Rosh Hashanah as we resolve to improve ourselves for the new year. I would like to just conclude my remarks on a personal note. The ideas that I have shared with you about the special content of the Rosh Hashanah Tefillos have made this Yom Tov a very dynamic and stimulating experience for me, as I try every year to deepen my understanding of the prayers. We have touched on numerous concepts, but have only begun to explore some details of their application in the lines and the pages of the Machzor. I sincerely hope that your listening has given you food for further thought that will enrich your own Rosh Hashanah experience. I wish everyone a kesiva v'chasima tova, a healthy, happy, and prosperous new year, lanu ulchol Yisrael. Thank you for listening.